Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground.
Hello, and welcome to the Garden Goddess Show on WDRT Radio, 91.9 FM, Viroqua. This is Donna Smith, and I'm happy to be here for the next half hour to talk gardening with you. On today's show, we'll talk more about fall cleanup in the garden and a few helpful tools to get the job done. I have a few more ideas on evaluating the garden and suggestions for new plants that you might want to incorporate into your landscape or vegetable garden next year. And last but not least, I've got several garden books to share. We'll get started with a couple of questions from the garden cart. If you have a question about something going on in your garden or want some help or advice, you can email me. If you're curious about a garden-related topic that you'd like me to cover in a future show, let me know that too. Send an email with questions or suggestions to gardening@wdrt.org, and I'll respond on a future show. Our first question is, can I still bring in plants or take cuttings to overwinter inside? Ideally, you want to get things back indoors before the night temps dip below 50 degrees. We've had a number of those nights already, so it could be tricky at this point. You may find that the plants you wanted to bring in may already be damaged by the cold temperatures. If they are still looking good, I'd suggest moving them into the garage or a three-season porch for several days, then bring into the house. The shock of moving them directly into a warm house may be too much. They'll need to acclimate to the new climate you're putting them in. Keep them well watered initially. Thoroughly check for insect pests. If any are found, treat with insecticidal soap or neem oil to control the pest problem. Prune back plants, leaving a third to one half of the original plant foliage, and remove any dead or dying leaves or branches. If you need to repot plants, be sure to clean and sanitize the pots that you're going to put them in. Clean dirty pots with a bleach solution before reusing for any other plants. Once inside, put them in a location with as much light as possible. Watch out for those heat vents. The plants will get too warm if they've got heat blowing on them. Rotate the pot so that the plants aren't leaning into the light. There's no need to fertilize them at this time, and you can begin to water less frequently, allowing the soil to dry out between waterings. Another question I've been asked recently has to do with the abundance of produce from the garden. What do I do with all of this? I say start cooking, but seriously, there are many ways to preserve the food that you're growing. The canning process allows you to have seasonal food all year long. Freezing is an easy method for most foods, and you can also dry many herbs and vegetables for later use. I've made a lot of red sauce this fall from all the tomatoes we've gotten. You have options to cook and freeze soups and sauces so that you have fresh things to eat this winter. If you don't have time right now, you can place the tomatoes on a tray in the freezer, bag them once they're frozen, and use them for soups and stews later on. Most squash can be kept in a cool, dark location and used throughout the fall. Kale can be harvested from the garden well into the fall. Carrots, when stored cold, will keep quite a long time in your refrigerator. Herbs can be easily placed in a food dehydrator, the oven, or just hung to dry. I have a few plants that I brought in from the cold that I'll harvest and dry as time permits. Or I may try to keep them in a sunny location or even under a grow light to keep them going throughout the winter so that I'll have fresh herbs as well. I cut back some mint that I had growing and I put it in a jar of water temporarily until I can get it into the dehydrator. Many of us grow basil. That can be made into pesto pretty easily and then frozen. Or you can just chop up the leaves, put into ice cube trays, cover with olive oil, and freeze overnight. Then store the cubes in a Ziploc bag or airtight container in the freezer for later use. I picked up a book recently at a thrift store called Putting Food By, the number one book about all the saved ways to preserve food by the authors Hertzberg, Vaughn, and Green. This is an old book that covers freezing, canning, curing, putting things in a root cellar, and many more ideas. Check your local library and bookstores for additional resources on the topic of food preservation. I was asked what the difference was between annuals and perennial plants. An annual plant is one that completes its entire life cycle within a single growing season. That would be germination to seed production, and then the plant dies off. Common annuals are plants like tomatoes and marigolds. A perennial is a plant such as peonies, hosta, or ornamental grasses. They typically live for more than 2 years, creating a deeper root system. They'll go dormant in the colder months of winter and regrow from their roots in the spring. I've also been asked about which perennials to cut down in the fall. I typically leave most of them, waiting until spring to do my cleanup. There are a number of reasons to do this. Perennials provide winter interest in the garden. The leaves that gather around the plants will help to insulate the crown of the plant during the winter months. The seed heads of many perennials are a great food source for birds, and the stems and leaves offer shelter to beneficial insects. There are plants that I definitely cut back in the fall, threadleaf coreopsis being one. Its thin, wiry stems typically get flattened from the winter snow. That makes it really difficult to clean up in the spring, so I like to cut it in the fall while it's still standing upright. Cutting back the foliage of bearded iris will help in the prevention of borers. Hosta foliage is also cleaned up in the fall. When it gets hit with a hard frost, it's done, and there's no winter interest left. So I'll clean it up, and then I don't have much to do in that particular garden bed come springtime. I usually also cut back the peonies. If I haven't already cut back their diseased foliage prior to this, I want to eliminate it from around the plant in the fall so that the disease spores don't overwinter and reinfect the plant in the springtime. They're susceptible to several fungal diseases, so good fall cleanup and mulching around the plants will help to control the disease problems. You might also consider cutting back plants that spread aggressively in your garden through reseeding. Cutting them now will reduce or eliminate the seed source. Earlier this year, I talked about planting flowers in your garden to create a buffet for pollinators. In June, my guest Heather shared some great native perennials to consider for your garden. I was asked for a few suggestions for some flowering shrubs for the pollinators and wildlife. It's getting a little late to plant these now, but you can certainly research them and plan to plant them in the spring. Here are three plants you might want to consider. A native plant, Nannyberry viburnum, which is Viburnum lentigo, has white flowers in June, red-purple foliage in summer, and in fall, blue-red fruits with a sweet date-like flavor when ripe. Prune this plant immediately after flowering. It will form flower buds in the summer for the next year's bloom. Next is Nanking cherry, Prunus tomentosa, which blooms in early spring before the leaves emerge, so it's quite showy early on. Prune this plant immediately after flowering as well. Its red fruits ripen in mid to late summer. The small sweet fruit is excellent for eating and making into jams and jellies. Wildlife also loves the fruit, so you may need to compete with them to get some for yourself. Last but not least is the glossy black chokeberry, Aronia melanocarpa, variety Aleta. The variety Aleta is considered a better landscaping plant than the straight species. It's more vigorous and slightly larger of a plant, and suckers a bit less. It also has larger white spring flowers and large quarter-inch black fruits that persist into the winter. The fruit is very tart but edible, has brilliant red fall foliage. It's very hardy and it's a very hardy and adaptable shrub. Aronia will grow in wetter spots in your yard. This shrub also blooms on old woods, so prune immediately after blooming. Any of these three plants will add beautiful pollinator-friendly flowers to your garden, as well as fruit for you and the other wildlife in your backyard. On the bookshelf this month, I want to share one of my favorite pruning manuals. This is the American Horticultural Society Pruning and Training Manual by Christopher Brickle and David Joyce. I love this book for several reasons. First, the photographs and illustrations are very well done. Second, the descriptions are clear and precise, and they give sound horticultural advice that gardeners anywhere around the country will find helpful. Lastly, it contains information regarding the proper pruning practices for not just ornamental trees and shrubs, but also fruit trees, climbing plants, roses, and soft fruits, or berry fruits as they're often called, plants like raspberries and currants. I've used this reference book for many years and find it to be an invaluable resource in my garden library. I've also been referencing a book called The Gardener's A to Z Guide to Growing Organic Food by Tanya L.K. Dinkla. In this book, she covers over 700 varieties of vegetables, herbs, fruits, and nuts. It includes all the information that you need to grow these plants, including soil and water needs, possible insect and disease problems, selected varieties, and some cooking and storage information as well. If you're new to vegetable gardening or want some inspiration for next year's garden, this would be a great book for you. I have three more books I'd like to share with you this week. I asked my friend Anne if she had any books that she might recommend. Since I talked about ways to preserve some of the bounty from your garden, we thought that her suggestions would fit right into this discussion. Anne is a big fan of the book Four Season Harvest, Organic Vegetables from Your Home Garden All Year Long by Elliot Coleman, and The Art of Fermentation by Sandor Katz. Coleman, who's well-known and well-respected in the field of organic farming, offers advice on different techniques you can use to successfully harness the power of the sun to raise a variety of winter vegetables using structures like backyard cold frames and plastic-covered tunnel greenhouses. Coleman has a number of other books on this subject, and any of them would be a good reference book for you that you'll use over and over. Sandor Katz is an author well known in the area of fermentation. His book, The Art of Fermentation, is a comprehensive and practical guide focusing on the process of fermenting a wide variety of foods. You'll gain an appreciation for and an in-depth understanding of what may be the oldest form of food preservation. This book is full of practical information to help you discover the world of fermentation and food preservation. Pair this book with another of Sandor Katz's book called Wild Fermentation and get updated recipes that you can try in your own kitchen. Any of these five books I've listed today, to add those to your reading list this winter, and you'll be gaining some valuable resources to take you into the next growing season. In the tool shed this month, let's take a look at different ways to clean up your yard with items you probably already have. First is a tarp. These can be used in several ways. You can lay the tarp in your yard as you're doing your fall cleanup and put the materials on the tarp. Because the tarp doesn't weigh much, it's easy to move it around the yard or drag it to your compost pile. I have a spot in the back of my yard near the woods where I put leaves and yard debris to break down. You can also rake leaves directly onto the tarp for easy cleanup in the yard. Again, it can be pulled over to the vegetable garden, the compost pile, or your perennial bed where you can put the leaves for the winter to decompose. A tarp can also be used to cover your sensitive plants and vegetables in the fall to extend their life a little bit longer. The other item I always have handy, especially at this time of year, is a 5-gallon bucket with a decent handle. If I'm pulling plants from my annual containers or cutting back some of my perennials, the bucket's very easy to carry around the garden and is there when I need to put items in it. When it's empty, you can turn it over and it becomes a convenient spot to rest in the garden and enjoy the scenery. Both of these items are easy to store, and most of you will already have them in your shed or garden, so put them to work for you. We need to take a brief station ID. You're listening to WDRT 91.9 FM, Viroqua. We're back with today's garden journal containing a few suggested tasks for the month. With the changing climate, it's important to learn to schedule gardening activities based on the weather in your area. This is going to change from year to year. These are my best guesses for what you can be doing over the next few weeks. Last month, I talked about the changing color of the leaves. We were out of town and I thought I'd miss all the good fall colors. But to my surprise, many of our trees were still green. There were still many leaves on the trees with beautiful yellows, golds, and oranges. We've continued to see the changing color the rest of the month. There were some nice overcast days that really made the colors pop around the middle of the month too. And afterwards, we've had rain and a lot of wind. Now the leaves are once again covering the lawn. This is where your lawnmower or that tarp that I mentioned earlier will come in handy for cleaning up the leaves in your yard. I found this quote from the prolific writer Anonymous: "Falling leaves are nature's way of showing us how beautiful it is to let things go." Your next task this month is to empty and clean annual flower containers. Last year, I left mine too late in the season, and they started to freeze with the soil inside. So get them emptied before you have to bring them in the house to thaw. I usually keep two containers that I'll fill with, I'll put a plastic container upside down inside of it, and then fill it with mulch, and that's one of the, those are the two containers that I end up using for some porch pots with greens for the holiday season and through the winter. Did you incorporate any perennial plants into your annual containers this year? Many of us put perennial plants into our containers, plants like hosta, coral bells, tiarella, and ornamental grasses to add different textures and extend the life of the containers through the season. You can save these plants to add into your landscape or to use again next year in another container. There's still time to plant them directly in the ground before the ground freezes. Be sure that you get them planted at the right depth so the root ball is not above ground level. Mulch them well for the winter with some crushed leaf compost or wood chips, and then water them in well and continue to water them as needed until the ground does freeze. Fertilize deciduous trees and shrubs. Deciduous plants are those that lose their leaves in the fall. You only need to fertilize once a year, either in the spring as the new growth begins or in the fall once the plants go dormant. Wait to fertilize evergreens until spring. Plants fertilized in the fall will store the fertilizer in their roots and will utilize it in the spring to strengthen the plant. Fertilizer only addresses the plant's need for nutrients. If you don't want to use a chemical fertilizer for your trees and shrubs, they will benefit from a mulch layer of wood chips or compost instead of grass around their base. You want to mulch out to the drip line of the plant and keep your mulch no more than 3 to 4 inches deep, keeping it off the trunk of the plant. Take note of late blooming plants in your yard this year. How many do you have? What colors are on display in your landscape? What might you add or take out to enhance your garden beds? The seeds and fruits from many late season blooming plants provide needed food for wildlife. Now's a good time to assess your garden beds and make notes. By taking those notes now in whatever form you use for your garden journal, you'll have what you need this winter when you're planning next year's garden. Another observation that you may want to take note of is, what successes did you have in your vegetable garden? What plants did well? Did you try any new varieties of veggies that you would try again? Or did you find anything you didn't have success with and want to try something different? These are all notes that you want to jot down on your garden plan or in your garden journal. Those seed catalogs for next season will be arriving before you know it. I've looked through a lot of catalogs over the years, and they can be particularly overwhelming if you don't have a plan. Many people like to try new varieties all the time, and others like to go with the tried and true varieties. What's your style? Are you ready to break out of your routine and try something new? Now is the time for you to look at adding a new basil variety to your garden, like, say, Piedmont. Or maybe you have never tried one of the newest Blue Lake beans varieties called Superior. Or how about trying some heirloom tomatoes? Or finding varieties of lettuce so you can have fresh greens through the summer? Maybe you love hot peppers, so you could look at adding varieties you've never tried before. If you listened to my April episode, my friend Glenn overwinters his pepper plants. He has 6-year-old pepper plants that are like small shrubs. When he gets them out into the garden, after danger of frost is gone, those plants are ready to go. So think outside the box this winter and take a chance on some new vegetable plants for your garden. Hopefully you'll be pleasantly surprised at the results. Now is the time to start planning out what plants you may want to start from seed. Get your area planned out inside and your supplies ordered. You can also add some of these items to your holiday wish list for gift givers in your life. We'll discuss this topic in more depth on a future episode, so stay tuned. To prevent diseases from overwintering in the vegetable garden, clean up and dispose of all diseased plant material and rotting fruits and vegetables. Top dress your vegetable garden area with compost or crushed leaves for the winter to help improve the soil. Mulch your strawberry patch with straw for the winter after the ground has frozen. You want a loose 3 to 4 inch layer of straw, avoid covering the crowns of the plants, and then plan to remove that in the spring. Don't forget to drain and put away your garden hoses before more freezing weather arrives. And don't forget the birds. Keep your bird feeders filled and continue to put out fresh water for the birds in your neighborhood. This is the time of year to also evaluate the season gone by and plan for the season ahead. This is a chance to take a breather and review the goals you reached and set new goals for the future. Time to catch up on your garden reading if you want to do more with houseplants or learn about bonsai or improve your pruning skills that you'll need this winter. This is the time to do all that as you move into the dormant season when your plants outside don't need as much attention. Planning and preparation can be most beneficial in your garden. This quote that I'll end with today is from The Gardener's Guide to Growing Organic Food, and it seems like a good place to end our show today. This is in the chapter First Line of Defense, Plan Ahead. Prevention of a host of potential garden problems begins well before a single seed is planted, even before the first garden bed is created. Resist the temptation just to start digging. Instead, if possible, observe your property through the seasons. What parts receive sun and for how long? Where does fog rise, dew linger, or frostbite latest in the spring or earliest in fall? Where does water accumulate or drain? Where does wildlife move? And which can be helpful or harmful to your garden? With this knowledge, you'll maximize the likelihood of your garden's success and are ready to begin planning. So take some advice and look over things that you did this year and where you would like to make changes for the future. If you're in a new garden, take the time to spend a year in your garden observing and getting ready for the planning ahead. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Please join me again next month for another discussion about gardening and plants. Have a wonderful day, friends. Let's go out and make our world a little more beautiful, one day at a time.